I will tell you that I have not been this excited about hearing, you know, a pair of voices in quite some time, because this was a bit of a journey for everybody.
Right? Wow.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Very
well,
good.
And
very
yourself?
Good.
I am fantastic. I have the house to myself. I just tweeted about a second ago that my wife took my little ones, and they went out to the mall so that you guys and myself could have some time to record and hopefully turn out what I'm really looking forward to, a really good show. So let's begin, and I'll start it this way. I think it's ironic that we had so much back and forth about creating this and you helping me create this episode. I think we still, first and foremost, I'm not exactly sure how we met on Twitter, but we did. And then from there, it's just a matter of going back and forth and looking at what other people post and enjoying what they have to say. And then Twitter is one of those crazy things where you hope that you find kindred spirits. You hope that you find people that you can talk to back and forth and be polite and have good critical, discussions without it getting ugly and personal. And then if you get through that, you reach that point, then you understand that they are content, that you're a content creator, and that you've created books and then we're going back and forth and reading them. And then me being bold enough and you being kind enough to say, hey, listen, if you ever want to record with us, we would be open to. And I think that's a very long way of saying that as we were going through all of this back and forth, and I was reading, I think your second book or your first book, we'll get to that in a second, that it just mirrored to a certain degree a lot of the work that you guys go into creating your adventures. And so
that's true.
So I just wanted to say that if you've given me a slight taste of the amazing path that you guys have taken over the years. And so anyways, that's why it's so exciting to talk to you. So with that being said, I guess my first question would be is, will there be another book on the way, or will there be another book?
Yeah. We are always thinking about telling our story, and I think the next book, we're toying with the idea of calling it Maturing with Benefits.
Interesting.
Because we're getting a little older. We're not seniors or anything by any stretch of the imagination, but a little over 50, and so it's interesting how people respond to sexuality and material about it, being a little older. So that's because it's naturally our evolution.
Most certainly. And I think that is one of the things that I found encouraging about the book. And it's also, I find it myself, I'll talk about my age. I'm 41, and both my wife and I are about the same age. And I think that we're realizing now that we are finding the best intimate years of our lives together. And we have this wonderful decade, let's call it our 40s, where we're both relatively secure in who we are. We have, we have our everyday lives. We have our careers. Things in the home front are, for the most part, steady. And because we have the background of, growing up with one another, because we've been together for 20 years and we're hoping to be together for at least another 20, that we have all of this institutional memory of what the other person likes. Plus, we're physically in a good place where we can take advantage of that. But then you got to look at years beyond that, when there's things that are not going to work quite the way that they should. And so to a certain degree, hearing that that you guys are thinking about us, and that you're very obviously practicing very well at it, and that you're planning for the future, that's for me very exciting, and it's something to look forward to.
It's good. Yeah.
So let's, with regards to, the beginning, not necessarily the beginning of how you guys got started. We can get to that in a little bit later, how you met. But the concept of, we have this idea, we have this that we want to accomplish. How did it turn into, we need to write a book? Because I like the back and forth, the ping pong things that are going back and forth between the book. I find it interesting. As I read it, I get through Jay's part, and I want to get to the next part because I know that there's going to be this, back and forth in different points of view from each of the, you know, each of the characters in the book, which is it's you. So how did you guys come to the idea of doing it?
That is a really interesting question, and I don't know that we consciously, we didn't certainly set out to write a book or books. We got together, the age group that you're in right now, and okay. we both had been married to other people, and those relationships ended, and we thought, well, hey, let's get together and try something a little bit unconventional. And so we really explored our sexuality together. And, you know, the first book is Monogamy with Benefits. And I think that's the one we sent you. And that details, you know, how we got this started. We had some adventures in strip clubs and with escorts and a male stripper. And, you know, and then we really lucked into that male stripper knew people in the adult video industry and connected us there. And that was when we really felt, hey, this is great. You know, we can have a great sexual experience together, capture it on video and do it with professional people where there's no baggage as far as, you know, what does it mean? I mean, these are people that do this regularly, and they're very careful and safe. And, you know, so it was something that I guess at some point we said, wow, this is so novel. Let's write it down. And so, you know, with modern technology like we're using here today, it's pretty straightforward to write a book and publish it on Amazon. And then the second book was a continuation of things. And I think that how we met you may have been, if you follow Nina Hartley, we shot a video with her that was amazing. And she's very prominent on Twitter, and she was very kind in helping us along. Because it's weird to have these books that we can't promote using our real identities, because it would be sort of the end of our jobs, it would cause some problems. So people have been very kind, as you have been, to give us a forum and talk about it without, you know, disclosing who we are.
Most certainly. Now, I am currently reading Married with Benefits, so I think I jumped the gun. But I was so excited when we met, and I saw that you had a book. I jumped on Amazon, and I got it because I really wanted to kind of get to know it. Plus, it really was a very interesting approach. It's not one that I had ever come across before. And, you know, this is a subject matter that I enjoy, erotica, and just the different ways that people approach relationships. So I think I'm a little bit ahead of the story then, but the book that you were able to send me, trust me, I will read it over and I'll get a little bit of the background. I don't want to give too much away because obviously we want folks to read your books, but let me ask, the relationships that you were before, without going into too much detail, were they relatively, on both sides, were they relatively vanilla, for lack of a better term?
Oh, yeah. I would say even less than vanilla.
Okay.
You know, and this is in the first book that I believe, my previous husband just was not a sexual person. He liked to watch porn, which I like to watch porn. He just wasn't interested in watching porn as a couple. And, you know, he wasn't a particularly sexual individual. So that was, and not, he's a great guy, you know, really wonderful man. And, but it just in the bedroom was not, what I was interested in.
Now, did that become fairly apparent, early on? In the reason why I'm asking that is because oftentimes, you know, throughout the years, I talk to a lot of people and I come and it's always interesting to me, folks that find themselves in a relationship early on where, you know, that big part of the, of a marriage isn't, you know, isn't matching up. And some will continue on with it because they feel they have to. And some will say, hey, we need to, you know, there's a, I can't waste time in life. There's a component I'm missing. So I guess my question is, did you catch early on this is going to be an issue?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. In the first few years we were together, it was not an issue at all. And we were together, you know, 20 plus years, actually. And then, you know, about 3 years into that, things started to kind of go downhill. And so, yeah, it was pretty early on. And I did. So anyway,
yes.
Yeah, I was saying, so yeah, I felt an obligation to stay together. I mean, we were very good friends, you know, and very compatible in many ways, just not sexually. And so I stayed with him for a number of years, but in the end, we grew less compatible. I changed and he didn't. And so it was, we decided mutually that it was time for us to part. And we still remain friends to this day. So, you know, it's all good.
And on my end, I lived with somebody in a marriage even longer. And it was one of those classic, I guess this is okay. And then it just came to be, wow, this isn't going anywhere. And, you know, I guess the thing I would underscore for people who are listening is just how vitally important it is to, particularly as you get a little older, be with someone that shares your sexual impulses and curiosities and adventure. And that's what we're really celebrating in the two books.
Right. Now, was there conversations on either side? Was there an attempt to fix it, to address it? Did either one of you go to your significant other at that time and say, hey, listen, this is an issue? Or was it also that perhaps you may not have had the language to tell them, hey, this is going on and we either need to work on it or we need to go our separate ways?
I did. We talked, my ex-husband and I talked about it, not in great depth, but on several occasions. And, you know, it just was an impasse that was not going to change. Yeah, so and I'm not entirely sure how he ended up to be so non-sexual, because his entire family are kind of sex addicts. I mean, not in a good way, right? You know,
yes.
He's got several siblings and his parents, and sex was talked about and very open, and people, you know, were having sex, and, you know, so I'm not sure how he ended up being the person who was saying, well, I'm just not really comfortable being sexual with another person.
Well, and to be fair, I think we didn't, we kind of stumbled onto this great thing that after we were out of those relationships, and then we experimented a little, you know, polyamory kind of thing, and that didn't really work for us. And again, this is in the first book, Married or Monogamy with Benefits. It wasn't until we got with professional people that we were like, oh, okay, this is how we can do this. We can have sex with other people, but it's not going to damage our own relationship. Matter of fact, it makes us feel more closer and intimate that we share these adventures with the professional people. So I don't know that we were equipped with that vision when we were in those other relationships. I wouldn't have known how to really do that. And so that's the beauty of what we've been able to discover.
Now, during the time after you left, you know, the relationships that you were past, was there a good amount of time that you spent alone figuring yourself out before both of you got together? Or did you guys meet right away and then together began this journey of discovery and dialogue?
Well, we had known each other actually professionally for some years before each of us got divorced. And, you know, the other thing about us is we eat a vegan diet. And so, you know, you're in your 40s and you're vegan and you're single. And it's like, oh, well, I know you. You eat the same food I do. Let's go for dinner. You know, so, you know, there was, I mean, certainly some time had passed between our divorces and us getting together, but we had known each other prior to our divorces. And I think that, you know, otherwise I'm not sure we would have been able to get together. Because we wouldn't have known each other, but.
Was there an attraction during those years?
I don't think it was an option during those, you know, when we were still married, it didn't never felt like an option. So I don't think either one of us really thought about it.
Yeah, it's interesting because people who know us, they don't know about the books and, sure. and the videos and things, but I think they're like, oh, well, they must have been, you know, having an affair or something before they got together. And really that wasn't the case. I mean, we were totally professional and interacted, and it was the kind of thing that, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm attracted to you, you know, after that was something that we could pursue. And I will tell you, I'm quite clear in the book, the first book on it, I never dreamed that my beautiful now wife was so sexual. I didn't, you know, didn't know that. So it was a wonderful discovery.
So then I guess begs the question, once you've made the turn and you guys were without, you know, other halves, what was the spark? What was the, you know, what occurred or what happened when you decided, hey, this person looks a little different to me now? Oh, good. I stumped you. I love that.
Yeah, I guess for me, it was the idea of, I can be alone. I can do that. I prefer to have a companion. And, you know, Jay was somebody that I respected a great deal professionally. And like I said, you know, ate a vegan diet like I do. And it's, you know, when you're vegan, to think about getting into a relationship with somebody who's not vegan, that creates some real, I mean, it's certainly doable, but it creates some challenges. And
sure.
So, the other thing is we're both into physical fitness, and, you know, and I was just thinking about, wow, we have a lot of ways that we're very compatible. And, so when we were at a meeting together and he said, hey, you want to go for dinner? I said, sure. And then he was like, wow.
Took it from there.
Yeah, he took it from there. And then I thought, okay, this will work. I mean, why not give it a shot? What's the worst thing that can happen is it doesn't work out.
So let's pivot a little bit because I'm curious. And one of the things that and I've always enjoyed about your Twitter account is the fact that there you post a lot of different things. I like variety in an account, and you have certainly a lot of good stuff to share. But a big component of it is the vegan food and the places that you go to and the recommendations that you have. So talking about food here for a second, how did you both come to find veganism?
Well, I'll start. So I was always a chunky kid growing up. And, they had when in our era, and your wife may remember this or you, the jeans were Slims, regulars, and Huskies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, and it's like I was always a Husky. And like, who thought of that? You know, how demoralizing. And at one point in my life, and I'm just over 5 foot, and at one point in my life, I weighed over 200 pounds. So that's a pretty round person. And I was never comfortable. And so I just said, you know, I need to lose weight. And so, but I could never get diet and exercise together at the same time. You know, I'd exercise for 6 months and then not for four and then maybe for two and then not. And at one point, the organization that I was with had a relatively new fitness facility, and they started offering classes, and it was a yoga class. And so I got a colleague to join me in doing yoga 2 days a week. And after about 4 or 5 months, people were like, wow, how much weight have you lost? And I hadn't lost that much weight, but I'd started to tone. And that was really my foray into exercise. And then a few years after that, I had the great opportunity to spend 6 months in London And I knew some things about British food, that they use a lot of gravy, and I've never been a meat juice fan. And they there was also, this was at a period of time when mad cow disease was at its height, and so I had an irrational fear of mad cow disease. And so I decided I would just not eat any meat while I was in London.
Sure.
And, you know, so I didn't. And I also had my daughter with me who struggles with her weight. And so I was modeling good eating behavior, and I quit eating butter and dressing on my salad and, you know, things like that. And we walked every day 4 miles. And so I lost a little bit more weight over there. And then when I got back, I tried to eat a hamburger and I felt physically ill. It just didn't set right in my system because I'd gone so long without eating meat. And then a couple years later, maybe, I went to the doctor and had, you know, the obligatory blood tests, and they said, oh, your cholesterol is, you know, borderline. And I thought, oh brother, you know, this is what getting older means. And so many years earlier, my father had a heart attack. And my mom said to his cardiologist, he's going to have to stop eating eggs. And the cardiologist said, if he wants to control his cholesterol with diet, he's going to have to go vegan. And my dad asked what that was. And she told him, and he said, and what medication will you be putting me on? Because I'm not doing that, right? So I thought, well, the only dairy I'm eating, or only, you know, non-plant-based I'm eating is some, you know, cheese, the occasional egg, and whatever might be in baked goods. So I thought, well, I'll just go give that up. And so for me, it was really baby steps and health, and for health reasons. And so it's been, you know, my cholesterol is good. My high cholesterol my good cholesterol is pretty high because of the exercise, and my bad cholesterol is very low. And, you know, and I've been able to maintain a very healthy weight. And so it's just that's how I got there.
Yeah. And I'm in a similar, I've been vegan. Wow. It's almost 30 years. I mean, I got onto it long ago when it was very weird, you know, and now it's fascinating to watch this get very mainstream. And you see, you know, Burger King, the Impossible Whopper, and although that one, it's got more fat and salt than the hamburger. So that sort of defeats the purpose, but it definitely was, health reasons and just trying to look a little better, and the environmental side of it is a nice benefit as well, that it's just better for the environment. So we really it started out, we would travel, and it was just kind of, well, where can we go and, you know, find our food? And now it's really fun watching, like, these cities get many more vegan plant-based restaurants and some fantastic places, and where you are in California, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, we that's one of the nice, when we come out to shoot videos in LA, we also go out and enjoy some fantastic food. So it comes together quite nicely.
Yes, certainly. And I will tell you that this is not ass kissing. This is really what's something that's been going in my mind. And I think this is part of the reason why I enjoy talking to different people from all walks of life, and why I try to keep an open mind about things, because there are new things that are introduced to, you know, our lives here because of the folks that I interact with, especially on Twitter. And so, for instance, yesterday had just come from the gym, my wife and I, and we were going to do some grocery shopping for the week. And we were, starting to plan out, like, what is it that we're going to do? And we made a conscious decision, because we talk about our meals, about the fact that we are meat eaters here, but we wanted to start incorporating at least 2 to 3 days during the two or three times during the week where we will cook a meal that's without meat. And yesterday we decided to go to, like, one of the local chains, you know, fast food chain stores, and order their Impossible Burger or whatever they want to call it. And we actually, we enjoyed it a great deal. Our little ones had it, which they've been, you know, meat eaters forever, and they couldn't even tell the difference. And so we know now that that's probably something that if we ever do fast food, which we don't tend to do anymore, but if we ever do, we want that treat, that we would default to it. And to a certain degree, that's because I've had access to folks like you.
Yeah.
Kid you not, every time that you guys will post something, like right now I'm looking at a piece of corn with, it looks like some, what's it, sweet potatoes, grilled corn, wheat berry salad that you guys have here on your page. I mean, that's fantastic. And the more that I cook at home, the more that I'm responsible for the meals and I get to have a say on what goes on there, the more that I want to experiment and surprise people with something and serve plates that don't require that meat component.
Yeah.
Well, that I keep telling Jerry, gotta do a cookbook. I mean, she is an amazing vegan cook and it is delicious. And that's sort of, I think the tweets are kind of like, okay, let's share this and at some point compile it all together and put it out as a cookbook, because I feel like the luckiest person around to have somebody that cooks so well.
Well, and I think in our next book, one of the things that we've started to do with our shoots, which is interesting, is to do a cooking show. So we do, it's a 2-day adventure for us. And so depending on where our talent is from, I will try to come up with a meal that would be characteristic of their hometown. You know, so with Nina Hartley, for example, you know, she's LA, you know, which is, I did a Kung Pao quote unquote cod recipe. Mm. Wow. And so we do this cooking show. I demonstrate how to make the food, and then, you know, when it's cooking or whatever, we say, and now you can watch this. And we have the talent with us, and we're kind of interviewing them as we do the cooking and the preparation of the food. And then we say, okay, and now, you know, we're going to watch this scene. And so then the sex scene comes in, and then we come back to the kitchen and plate the food and finish up. And that's been really fun. And I think that in our next book, you know, the recipes that we are using for each talent, we will include in the book. So it'll be sort of a mixture of a cookbook and other book. So,
yeah, you know, it's not until the final chapters of Married with Benefits that we got to that point where we figured out the cooking show piece, and it would be so beautiful to be able to show people that. But of course, you know, that we'd have to out ourselves, as it were. But it's really fun, and we shoot on 2 days. That was the sort of like, how do we pull this off? So one day is the sex scene with the talent, and then the next day would be the cooking show. And yeah, we did that with Nina, and Tyler Nixon was really cool, our latest one. And so the next book, that's going to be really what it's all about.
So let's start digging into that, because I'm sure that at this point the audience would want to know, well, what the heck is it that these people are doing? So, and I think, you know, I'll go back to, and I don't have, I would be paraphrasing really badly, so I'll just try to explain it as best as I understood it. But one of the things that I enjoyed the most out of the, which one is it that I'm currently reading now, which is the second one, that is Married with Benefits, and the Sweet Treats video that you guys recorded. One of the pleasures for me, and let me just paint the scene real quick. Typically, I'm not a good reader. I'm somebody who digests a lot of audio. So that's why podcasts are something that I record and that I listen to. So for me, sitting down to read is not an easy thing. And oftentimes, because our schedule is so crazy and busy here, that I don't have 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour to like sit down and actually read a physical book. So whenever I do have a chance to read, it's typically like today, Sunday morning, where the house is completely quiet, and I pull up my Kindle and I start reading through your chapters. And it's this very interesting set of emotions of going through your journeys and, you know, without being indelicate, like actually feeling, well, this is sexy stuff.
That's cool. That's good.
Well, you're definitely accomplishing it. And there's my other half right next to me. And I love Sunday, Saturday, weekend mornings, because you have this waking up component. And like you guys in Sweet Treats, without giving too much away, you guys do an activity that's any couple would do. And you're being videoed, which I found very fascinating. How that occurred? And then you do another activity, and then you do a puzzle together, if I'm recalling it correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
And it sounds like, to a certain degree, it mirrors what we would do if we, you know, what we do whenever we have some leisure time, or we, the kids go and they have a sleepaway somewhere else. But you guys add the component that there is an entire production around. So what folks do in their everyday life, to, you know, when couples are having a date night or a date day, you guys have that in your shoots to some degree, at least with the Sweet Treats video. But then you guys have, then you have professionals around you that are capturing this, that have a plan, that have an idea, that have a knowledge of angles as far as how to shoot a couple. Anyways, I'm doing a bad job of describing it, but that is what I got out of it. So with that being said, if you could tell us about that component, like the how you go about the concept, how you create your concepts, and then to some degree, how you how they get pulled off.
Well, you know, that one is really special for us because that was the first video that we made with what we call in the books the Pornwork Studio.
Yes.
We can't give you the real name, sure. But it's a well-known production company, very just wonderful people. I think that one, we had made a few videos before that, but they were rather amateur and they were with professional people at conferences.
With our own camera.
Yeah, our own camera. Right. Camera and,
not a professional.
Right.
And so we were trying to, what can we do that's a little bit different? And I don't know how somehow we got onto the, well, let's see, not so much who the talent is, but who the studio is. And we worked through an agent who, again, very kind to us, connected us with that studio. And they were like, sure, come out to the house that they use and let's shoot the video. And what do you want the theme to be? So you hit it right on the head, Hugo. We were sort of like, well, how would we naturally have sex? And so it was this, oh, we'd get up, we go out for a run, we come back, get showered. And then while, you know, Jerry takes a little longer than I do to get ready. And so I work on crossword puzzles and help, you know, she gives me a little bit of help on that from the other room. And then it led into the sex. And yeah, that was our first experience with a crew, and they are really good at what they do because they just stay in the background and you're actually able to forget they're there. And it really is a beautiful thing. And that video, we like that so much that we went back with them to celebrate our anniversary of our wedding. And on the 1 year, to the day, we shot another video called Juicy Anniversary, which was just the two of us with that same crew, same location, and so on.
Which is, by the way, this is where I'm ending the book now. So
there you are. Well, see, you haven't gotten to the cooking show yet.
So no. But I'm trust me, now I can't wait to get there.
Yeah.
And by the way, and you know,
on the Sweet Treats video, the head of the entire company actually came.
Yes. Not literally, figuratively.
Right. Very good. Yeah, he was there to oversee things and
well, he directed.
That's right.
And we later learned he hadn't been doing much direction, but he was sort of fascinated by who are these people and so it was a very nice experience. Yeah. I wish, you know, we hear so much about all of these people that make pornography are horrible and all that. And we have found that to be like absolutely the opposite. I mean, these are people that it's their career. They're very professional and they're very educated. We really felt, I mean, because we've made like 6-7 videos with them. Yeah.
Well, I think that is one of the things that I found also very surprising, and that's the reason why I'm enjoying, reading these adventures, is the fact that nobody that I've come across, at least the way that you're describing them in the books, nobody from the production side of it comes off as salacious. No, there's nobody trying to, they have an you know, some kind of odd agenda or mm-hmm. trying to create something that's, it's really about what your vision of what you want to accomplish is and how their talents complement that.
That's exactly right.
I think that we have found that those folks are just like anybody else in the entertainment industry. They have something that they're serious about and they do it, you know, pretty much every day. And so like the sort of the salacious thing is not there whatsoever. I mean, it's more artistry, if you will. And, you know, that now we chose this particular company because we had seen their work on the web and we were like, wow, they really do a night, you know, very high end, great camera angles and movements and music and, you know, lighting, and they're really good at what they do.
No, certainly. Now, real quick, you know, because I am about, you know, I do the reading. I did find a typo in one of the books in Married with Children. And it's on page, well, I don't know, I'm on the Kindle, but it says, and I quote, seeing how well, quotes, sweat treats had turned out.
Thank you for that.
So I found one. I just wanted to, I got a kick out of it. I'm like, did I miss a video here? Because I would watch that one too, but you know. Yeah. Yeah. So I found a little bit.
He's writing that down. That's helpful.
Yeah. So let's get back to it. And again, I haven't gotten to the other videos, but one of the things that I was fascinated by, because you know we're a family and with a budget and we have certain amount of monies that we can spend to our, you know, to our fun times here. But it seems like you guys have, through either career or savings or, you know, lottery, that you spend a good amount on these videos, at least as they tabulate things. Yeah. So, again, we're not talking about what is it that you do, but obviously it gave me an insight on the fact that whenever you're watching something on, you know, that has been produced by one of these companies, that they're not necessarily cheaping out, for lack, you know, that a lot goes into creating content.
That's right.
And that it's not cheap. And you also talk about travel. You talk, I think at one point you talked about this, taking the crew out for dinner.
Yeah.
So all of those things add up. And I know that this is you invest in yourselves, which I think is terrific, but maybe you can go into a bit of the economics. Like, how do you plan this out?
Well, you know, we are fortunate to be at the executive level in our organizations. And so we do, you know, we're privileged to be making good salaries. The other thing is that, you know, we don't have little kids around. I do have a child from a previous marriage, but she is, you know, an adult and married and with the child herself and doing very well. So, you know, we're at that stage in life where we don't have as many financial obligations, you know, as people earlier in life. And so that's, you know, that this is how we decide to spend our vacation money, you know, kind of
thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and I one of the things that I have appreciated, and I think it's as a couple, as we get, you know, older, and this conversation that I've had with she actually introduced it to me, and I agree with it, is that we spent a lot of time, you know, trying to pay a mortgage and try to pay for all of the different things that need to occur in order to have a household, but that we need to stop ourselves to invest in our marriage, and that there is a need to take these excursions. Now, maybe not to the degree that you're taking, because it's not for everybody, but as a couple, as a, you know, somebody that wants to spend their life with somebody, to invest in their marriage, and that also includes the sexual component of it, the intimate component of it.
That's right.
Yeah, and you know, actually, the fees that you pay the talent are surprisingly not that expensive. So that's not really what it's about so much as the having sex with somebody, it's making a great video. And that, you know, requires a little bit of money there. And we think it's worth the investment. And, you know, someday, I don't know when this will be, we will put these out in the world. And we think we've made some really, I mean, wonderful videos that I get the personality piece in there.
That's right.
That is often just so missing from, you know, most porn.
No, I will tell you that as I imagine these things, because obviously that's what the book is supposed to do, is conjure the ideas of what's going on. And I think you both do a terrific job of describing things and putting you in that place. But I think, gosh, why is this stuff not here for public consumption or available for purchase? Because I think it really does sound like quality video making.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's distinctive. I mean, and that's, it's a real struggle because our work that we do in, you know, the day-to-day world, people would probably be like, oh my God, you know, they're doing this really unconventional thing. I mean, if we could have the kind of standard of living that we have through the work that we have right now, through our videos and books, that would be really cool. I just don't know whether that's possible, but you know, it's just kind of like the vegan thing. It started out really weird and obscure, and now you've got, you know, like mainstream restaurants with vegan burgers. Hopefully we'll get there with pornography and people will, you know, be more accepting, and we'll make that transition.
Well, I would say that if you ever had a website and you had, because it seems like you guys have done the homework for a lot of people, because I can't imagine that there aren't other folks that are interested in, but you guys have actually put together an idea package. All you got to come up with, to a certain degree, content, and obviously the means to pay for it. But if that ever turned into a business, I'm sure that you would have people saying, hey, I want to do these for ourselves. They may never see the light of day, but... because it really does seem like the next step versus I have my cell phone and I'm going to record a grainy video late one
right.
night.
You know, it's interesting because we actually have talked about, and even with this production company, we'd like, you know, you need to do porn camp, right?
Yeah.
that people, couples like us.
Fantasy camp.
Yeah, well, fantasy camp.
Yeah.
That couples like us, you know, can hire you to produce these videos and put that out there as an option for your company in a way, you know, because I agree. I think there are people like us who would be thrilled to make professional videos, whether they would include, you know, talent or just the couple.
Right.
And, you know, we've kind of joked around that we could be the facilitators for the couples to say, this is how this goes. We've done this, you know, it's okay. You can relax. It's a little, the pieces of it that might feel a little weird, but you know, that sort of thing. And so it's interesting that you picked up on that because it's certainly something we've thought of.
And I would say that, you know, the something that we discovered that you're never going to, appreciate it till you experience it is the still photo part.
Oh yes, that that resonated with me, and I'll talk about that in a second. But yes, it was that component was also very interesting.
Yeah, you know that they said to us the first time, I think when we did the sweet treats.
That's right.
Do you want to do stills? And we were kind of actually we had made a video out there in LA with a different set of people, and it was the first really professional one, and we didn't do the stills,
right?
And so then when we went to do the sweet treats, he said, sure, let's try that. And that's like really, I would say, an incredible aphrodisiac.
Oh yeah,
for the main event, that because, you know, you gotta sort of, okay, hold that, stop, wait a minute, let us go over here. And you normally wouldn't have sex that way, and so it was fascinating. And so yeah, I think to come back to what Jerry said, there's definitely an opportunity for somebody out there to have this kind of, hey, couples, come and we'll give you the full, you know, porn experience. And you can have talent or not, or yourself. And it really is, particularly in this age when everything's on the web. I mean, you know, Hugo, you know this. I mean, we're of an age that there was a time when none of this was widely available, and now it's totally available.
Yeah,
society has to come to grips with that.
All I will say is that if there ever is a video in the future for you both, the title that I would suggest is Heart to Heart. I don't know why.
But
I loved that show when I was, you know, I was young, and you guys are tailor-made for it, obviously just by pseudonym alone, which is what I wanted to get to. How did you choose your synonyms?
I think there was a component of that heart-to-heart show that was involved at that, but it's been a while. So
I think that the Jerry and Jay thing was kind of having names that were, you know, kind of, I don't know, not necessarily associated with one gender or the other.
That's true. Yeah, that's right.
And so we like that and the heart piece. But yeah, that's, you got a good question. I don't know how we probably talked that over many, many, many nights. And then finally, like, oh, okay, that'll work, you know.
Well, I think that they flow together, both, you know, the names together. And I just thought the heart was, again, it made me think of that show, which I'm sure a lot of younglings now don't even know who that was. But for me, it was one of my favorite shows on the telly. Okay, so.
Well, do you remember, you know, what would he be like? Heart to Heart will be back in a moment.
Oh, yes. Trust me, I recall. So one of the things, let's go back to the Sweet Treats video, because again, I haven't gotten to the other ones, and I'm anticipating, you know, enjoying those two. But one of the things that I wanted to ask was, part of, if I were to put myself in that situation, I think that to a certain degree, and it probably wouldn't take long, but to a certain degree, I would feel a bit self-conscious because I'm a regular person. I'm fit for my age. You know, I take care of myself. We work out. You know, we don't have any health problems, but we are not top models, for lack of a better term. And so, the folks that you're interacting with in some of these videos, they are professional adult actors, the way that I understand it. And so, there's this hesitation of, could I measure up figuratively and literally to somebody who does this for a living, who has the stamina, who knows the tricks of the trade to hold off
right.
You know, for as long as possible. So when you guys were going into this, how did you tackle that, if you tackled it?
You know, I would say that the people that we encountered were so incredibly kind and supportive and equally intrigued with us as we were with them.
Wow.
That it just really, and even so, even before we did the cooking, you know, I don't think this is in the book that you're reading, but we always incorporated the sex scenes with interviews. So we would first interview the person and have a conversation with them to say, well, you know, where are you from? How'd you get in the business? How's your family relate with this, you know, or whatnot? And so we got to know them as a little bit as people. And again, they were so incredibly non-judgmental and kind that it was, it just put our minds, at least for me, put our minds at ease. And then some of them would actually give tips. It's like, oh, you probably want, you know, in porn, this is how this goes. And yeah, the more uncomfortable it is for you, the sexier it is on camera. I remember somebody saying that to me one time. It's like, okay. You know, but it was, they're just such good people. That it was never an issue to think, well, I don't have breasts that big, doesn't have a cock that big, you know, whatever. It just really, it was never felt threatening to me at all.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that obviously those folks are, this is their profession and they're really in great shape. But we do try to pick people that we think for one reason or another are really interesting. And we've been very lucky to get people that, as Jerry has said, are, you know, just kind and comfortable. And one of the videos is really the concept is, we've hired this male porn star to come over to our house and help us make a sex tape. And that worked out really well. I mean, that was, there are certain things. I mean, it gets to that issue of sex on camera is different from sex in your real life.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think we try to not go all the way there on the sex on the camera and bring in the real life thing. And so it might not be as like dramatic as some of the stuff you see on the web, but it certainly feels genuine. And, you know, on the size thing, you joked about that earlier. I mean, obviously these guys are, you know, they're
well endowed.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, kind of average, I would think. But my gal here says, you know, that's good for her. And you know, it's not all about the huge size. And so I don't really have any concerns about that. I guess on the stamina piece, what we've learned certainly is if you're going to shoot stills and then shoot video, you're going to need a little help from, you know,
pharmaceutical.
Yeah. And we ask, every guy in the business is using those. There's no shame in it, because it really would be unprofessional to not be able to deliver when you've got this crew there and, you know, they're paid for their day and that's as it should be. And the talent and so on. So the guy's got to be able to deliver it. And certainly that, I have great respect for the classic stars like John Leslie and Paul Thomas and people who made these kind of films and videos before the era of, you know, Viagra and Cialis. Because, wow, I don't know how you do that.
Well, I will tell you that on my end, because you mentioned her by name, so I think we're okay to talk about it. And the fact that Nina Hartley is somebody that you've worked with before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Nina has been in the industry for quite some time, very well spoken. I know that she talks about a lot of different interests. She's an advocate for the industry. And I have heard her on other podcasts of, you know, what she cares about, and, you know, and so to a certain degree, she's well regarded. She's respected in the industry. So to be in that somebody, to be in the presence of somebody like that, no joke to me, I would be starstruck.
Yeah.
And, but that also means, you know, I'm not, you know, a big name dropper, but, you know, on occasion here living in Los Angeles, you run into somebody who's relatively famous or very famous. And, you know, I try to play it off always like they're regular people, because to a certain degree that they are. But there is that component of, you know, like, oh, my gosh, this is who that is. Never mind having to interact with them. and the expectations, and I know that, and I think that's what I enjoy about your adventures here, is that you go through what the mindset's at, where, you know, the what you guys are going through, and you diffuse, you know, what I think my anxieties would be.
Well, you know, Nina is singular, and I grew up watching her. And to actually shoot a video with her was, I don't think we're going to top that.
No.
I mean, and she's such a wonderful person. And she, absolutely, there was a kind of on my end, you know, nervousness. And she really quickly put me at ease, and it just felt great. And that's a testament to her. And, you know, we can't thank her enough for the influence she's had on us.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, on that component, because you never talk about anybody by name in the book. You talk about top talent, or you send something along those lines. I could be saying that, you know, I think that's how you describe them.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that I always keep imagining, well, who could that possibly be?
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic kind of guessing name, because obviously there's some people that are, well, a plethora of people that you could imagine. And I think that's one of the fun things in the book, is that if you are somebody who enjoys, you know, adult content, and you have your go-tos or people that you know, that are in your wheelhouse as far as who you enjoy watching and performing, you could put them in that place. And then it takes on, like, oh, could have been with X person or Y person, and then it just creates an entire different fantasy, you know, along with what you're reading. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, you know, because when we first started filming with talent, we never, you know, we were not thinking about writing a book about it, and so we felt it important to protect their, because we didn't talk to them, would it be okay if we wrote a book and said we did this with you? And so we thought it would be important to protect their privacy on that. With the last few performers we have asked, is it okay if we talk about that we, you know, shot with you? And so they've been very gracious, Nita and Tyler, to say yes. And so that
when you say Tyler, it's Tyler.
Tyler Nixon is.
Got it.
Yeah. And so... that may be different in the maturing with benefits. We may be actually able to name them, but I like that you find that an intriguing part of the books.
Well, and the other thing, the very first professional person that we shot with, and it's in the monogamy with benefits book, turned out to become a huge star. I mean, yeah. Just... really, we were just, it was like dumb luck,
like top female,
like it was, yeah. Like, okay, here's somebody.
She was just entering her into the career at that point when we were able to connect with her, and then later on she just, it was
stunning. Yeah, and we've been, you know, reluctant to name names because the agent and the,
yeah,
other people, yeah, it just, I don't know how comfortable they would be with that, where they welcomed amateur people like us into their world. But since the second book, we're very, when we do a shoot, we say to people, well, we've written these books and we would like to write about it. And they're cool with that. And you know, so the next book, we'll have the real names. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'll be looking forward to that. But like I said, it's a heck of a whodunit, at least in these first two books, because like I said, I could interject, you know, many different names on there, and all of those configurations are always fun. So, with regards to there's a passage in the book that talks about waiting for the shoot to occur, and I really found myself in this place, because I, whenever I'm nervous, I tend to be chatty. So if there's people around, I'll tend to go ask them questions about, well, how does this work, and how does your camera, you know, happen, and like, what are you thinking about? And I found, you know, that you were kind of doing that. You were just kind of milling around because you're waiting for her to get dressed and get ready for. And this is, I think, in the Sweet Treats video, and that you just kind of have this lounge time. And so just, if you could take me through, like, really what's going on in that time when you're like, I'm getting ready to do this activity, but right now it's just people kind of just setting up for a shoot.
Well, again, it underscores the male talent. It's just so weird because everybody else has something to do. And like, you know, Jerry's up in makeup and hair, and they're talking and the whole thing, and the crew are getting the cameras ready and so on. And as the male guy, you're just like, okay, I don't have much to do. And you do the conversations, like you said, and it's kind of, but then you're like, wow, I'm going to be called on at some point in the near future to deliver
right
that erection. And that's really, it takes a little getting used to. And again, I have great respect for the people that do that day in and day out. And, you know, fortunately, I've been able to pull that off. I mean, it hasn't always been entirely smooth. I mean, what you wouldn't get from watching porn is that sometimes, you know, they got to stop and let the guy get it together. And then everybody kind of goes off and does other stuff. And then they come back. Are you ready to do this? Yep, let's do it. And you can edit it that way. But it is a extraordinary feeling. There's a bit of pressure. It's kind of like the field goal kicker. Like, you're just kind of sitting on the bench and nobody cares. And then, okay, now we got to win the game, and you have to come in and kick that field goal. So it is interesting.
The other thing that I found interesting too is that you were turned down. Somebody said, at least if I understand the book correctly, you were turned down. And I don't know if you, and I'm recalling badly, I'm getting old, and so I don't remember all details, but what was that like?
There's a particular individual that's, again, kind of a Nina Hartley figure in the whole
a male
Nina Hartley figure. Yeah. And, you know, we thought, well, that would be really cool. But, you know, it was just like, well, this individual is pretty successful. It's probably not going to have sex with people like you, you know, and that was fine. I mean, the person that we were working with to get the talent, you know, to acquire the talent is really has been really respectful and helpful. And, you know, so it's always been that person maybe. And actually, there's been more than one individual that we've suggested, and the negotiator said, well, that may not be your best person. Let me suggest somebody else. And so it's always gone very well for us. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that I like the fact in the book that there's a discussion of the fact that everybody has their own agency, and that just because this is something that you want to produce and you want to make happen for yourselves, that people have the ability to say no, or they don't feel like, oh, well, I have to do this because I need to get paid. But the people that come into it because it's something that they actually want to do and want to partake in.
That is absolutely correct.
And, you know, at the end of Married with Benefits, the last chapter, we have scenes with somebody that's been in the business a little while, and she's a little older, and that's her whole thing, is I get to decide what I will and won't do, and it's how important that is, and we really respect that. And you know, that's an important thing to remember.
Now the video search, you know, are done. Everybody goes their merry way, and then you have to wait. And I think I got tickled over the fact that somebody in that pair is always itching about, well, how soon are we going to get this? And that's all right. But then it comes, pun intended. Then the video actually arrives. So what is that like? And I know you talk about it in the video, but I mean, what is that moment like? Is it Christmas in July? I mean, what goes through your head?
Well, I think for Jay, it is Christmas in July.
Yeah, it is.
I kind of am more about making the videos than watching the videos, but we unveil them together. We sit together. You know, the first time watching them is always as a couple. and we watch it, and then we usually have really great sex.
And yes. You know, we live apart during the week, and we're only because we have both have very successful careers in different places, and so we're together on weekends. Well, I'll be honest. I mean, that time alone during the week, I love to watch a video with my beautiful wife, and you know, I might pleasure myself doing that, and I have no shame in that, and I would highly recommend that to others.
Yeah, I mean, it, like I said, and you have high quality stuff, and you're also going, I'm sure, through the it's got to be this interesting dance in one's head of I'm watching a couple. Hey, that's me. And hey, I recall that we did this.
Right. Yeah. It's and I've talked to one of the questions that I've asked other talent is, you know, do you watch your own stuff? And most of them don't.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, yeah, I'll watch it that one time and see it. But you're right. It's this interesting kind of paradox of it's sexual, but it's me. And, you know, for me, I think I just assume if I'm going to watch porn, I want to watch other people, you know?
But said, on that topic, we are always, you know, when we do the cooking show and then we interview people, or even before we did the cooking show, we would interview the talent because we just like to, like we are here today, like, well, this is fascinating and what is it all about? And one of the questions we always ask, and we tell people if they're not comfortable, they don't have to answer it, but they've never been uncomfortable. What kind of relationship do you have off camera? And we have found, I think it's safe to say that with the professional people, it varies. There are some people that are, you know, like married to somebody else in the business. Other people are married to people not in the business. There are people who don't want to have a relationship with anyone in or out of the business. I think as rich and multifaceted as just any other, you know, people.
Yeah.
So how do you compartmentalize? And what I mean by that is you have very successful careers individually, and then there's this component. And have they ever come close to crossing path, or how is it that you can keep them so separately, considering the fact that you are very cool Twitter people and you guys are sharing a heck of a lot there, more than just vegan food, what is that? Is there a tightrope? And if there is, how easy is it to move back and forth between the two sides?
That is an excellent question, and I, you know, obviously we enjoy doing this and we want to do it. So there's an element of, okay, how far do you want to go with it? But the other side of it, it's so establishment. I mean, in our lives, that people would really not know how to handle it if we came out. But I think because our jobs are so, you know, what I would call conventional, no one would ever suspect that, oh, they're doing something that's this unusual. That said, we don't really think it's that unusual. There's a great line at the end of Married with Benefits. We say, we don't play golf, we make porn. And, you know, it really is sort of our version of like a recreational activity.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, it's something where, and that's what boggles the mind to me, is the fact that you're very open in some degrees, but at the same time, you live, you know, your everyday is a very regular, you know, yeah, kind of day.
Well, as you can appreciate, we are passionately devoted to freedom of expression and freedom of speech. And so we think that's really important. And there are these roadblocks that one encounters, which, you know, we don't, there's a lot of hypocrisy in society. And so maybe at some point that'll be what this is all about, where we come out and say, hey, why is this a problem? People say they want freedom of expression, freedom of speech. Well, they're doing that, you know, so don't penalize them. But right now, I don't know that we're there yet as a society.
No, no, I certainly, it's one of the things that I grapple with. Obviously, you know, I record and I interview people of all walks of life. And there's a lot of things that I am interested in, and my name and my likeness is out there. But oftentimes, I don't tend to mix, and not that I'm hiding anything, but I'm also not advertising it. The fact that I have this podcast and I get to review some very interesting people whose activities don't fall under the, this is okay, or this is the way that, you know, you should go about your day. But the interesting part is that the more that I talk to folks, the more that I realize that everybody is a little weird in their own way.
That's right.
You know, and so we have this, I don't know what's the best word to describe it, but the Jekyll and Hyde society, where there's a lot of people having fun on their own, but then they will turn around and judge others because they're having fun that they don't happen to agree with.
Yeah, and that's why we wanted to talk with you, because you do that so well. And, you know, it really is important to be advancing this conversation. So thank you for doing that.
No, it's like I said, it's my pleasure, I am going to pivot to this, and I guess this is a good segue to do this, is the fact that we live at a time which we do have a lot of roadblocks, but there's also this ability now to self-produce. And so my next question would be, this, my understanding is, and I could be wrong, that that you self-published? Or did you go through, do you have a publisher, or like we created this book because we want, you know, to share our stories, but you can't go to your everyday publisher and say, hey, listen, we have this. And would they be even somebody interested in something like that? Or did you get to the point where like nobody would publish us, so we'll do it ourselves? How did that work?
That was it. Nobody would publish it, so we'll do it ourselves. We sent it out to dozens of agents, and they were absolutely, that very few of them got back to us. A few of them did, which was, I thought, respectful, but they were not interested. And so it came to the point where we just decided, well, we'll go ahead and publish this ourselves. And, you know, which was, we talked a lot about it because, again, you know, we're concerned about our identities being known, and finally we just thought, oh well, you know, we got to put this out there, and they've done, you know, it's not like we're making millions of dollars,
no.
But you know, people are buying our books on Kindle and in hardcover, and you know, we tend to be in the top, I mean, most of the time in the pornography, well, what category it is,
study of pornography,
the books tend to be, both of them, usually in the top 20 for the most part. Sometimes one of them will dip down below, but you know, sometimes we're the number one selling book, and so it's pretty cool.
Now, just for the audience, and this is something that I've had a question for authors, and so I ask everybody, what's the best way to do it? Is it better for you financially for somebody to buy it on a Kindle type device, or is it better to actually buy a hardcover book? Like, if people wanted to enjoy your content, but also benefit you the best, which is the path that's preferred?
I think that I would say, and you know, don't want to discourage anybody.
Sure.
But it is very hard to make money selling a book these days. We do a little bit of promotion and advertising through Amazon, and I think that costs more than the royalties that come back from the book sale. So it's just, you know, you'd have to find some other way. But, you know, if you want to have your book out there and people thinking about your ideas, I think the Kindle, you know, seems to be more just easier for people to do. And then it's a question of how much do you charge for that. And the paperback, which you can also do through Amazon, and we do, there is a certain cost to printing it. So that means that you can't make as much of a royalty on that as you can on the electronic. But it's certainly, it's not a way that I
but which do we get bigger royalties on, the electronic or the paper?
The electronic. Yeah.
The electronic, yeah. You do.
But they're not off the chart or anything. I mean, it's just sort of nice to see your book there, you know, like right there with Jenna Jameson and Ron Jeremy and Tracy Lords and the feminist porn book. And there's some great books. There's also some really, you know, anti-porn books that sell well, and so be it. But we like to have our story told.
Well, as of right now, as I'm looking at the Amazon page, other items that other people look after they look at your book, it's She Comes First, which I own, and The Ethical Slut, which I've heard good things about. So there's, you know, at least in this page that I'm looking at, that's who, you know, that's who surrounds you. Now, when it comes to the actual writing component of it, both of you take turns, at least in the book that I'm reading, and they take turns bouncing back and forth, you know, telling the thread of the story, but you each give your perspective. How did you come about that as a storytelling device?
Well, I think that was Jay's idea, actually. And to be quite honest, Jay likes to write. I pretty much hate to write. So he was always on and always pushing me to say, okay, write your bit. And then the way that I write is I, you know, ponder a lot beforehand and then kind of sit down and throw it all out there. And then in each of those bits, I might type it out in 15 or 20 minutes. Whereas Jay's style is much more, he's going to write for an hour on his bit and think about every word and whatnot. And then the blessing is that then he edits my stuff, you know, because of the, you know, inevitable typos and rephrasing and things like that, that just makes more sense. So I think it really was his idea to do that back and forth. And like you said, there aren't books out there that do that. And so we liked the fact that that was a unique format.
Yeah. And I again, it makes it so that you're racing to get to the other person's perspective. And that's something that I've appreciated in the book. So then you do self-edit, correct? And yes. It means that you did not send this to an editor.
These books are entirely the two of us. And there's a wonderful person that does the covers. And, you know, that'd be it. You know, it's weird because typically you read acknowledgments in a book and there's a whole bunch of editors and people and so on. And no, we didn't have that. And it's definitely a do-it-yourself project.
Would you say that the process was easy from the standpoint of not writing a book, but writing books are not easy. I write a little bit for my blog and I have trouble, creating stuff. But as if you're an author and you actually create a work, do you find that this process is relatively easy?
I think that the first book really came, we just were like, oh, it's a release. Let's get that out. And it happened. The second one was a little, more challenging in terms of, you know, okay, let's find the time to do this. Now, we, again, don't live together during the week, and we are traveling a lot. So you can get a lot done when you're on the road. And certainly the second book, I think it's safe to say, was written almost entirely on the road.
Well, and in terms of the publishing of it, you know, it's fairly easy to go ahead and put something out there on Amazon on Kindle. That's pretty easy. The print version is a slightly more challenging because of the pages and whatnot. You have to get it to look just right. The one challenge that we did encounter is in terms of our ad campaigns.
Okay.
And that was because, you know, we would have
the word porn
in there. And then we would get, you know, we would send that in and get rejected because you can't advertise with the word porn. And so Jay was very good at, you know, being persistent to get those ad campaigns going. But, you know, if it were not a book that contains some kind of sexual name, then that wouldn't be an issue.
Right. So, yeah. That's one of the things that has been, you know, in the foresight of my mind here recently, is because it seems like there is a purging to a certain degree of terminology, content that the powers that be, you know, by the powers that be, meaning the Twitters of the world, the Tumblrs of the world, which that if they deem certain language to be not in their best interest, that they're purging their rosters of people and titles and whatnot of what's available for people to see. And so, again, great time to be, best of times with the regard to the fact that you have content and you can get out there. Worst of times is the fact that the gatekeepers are becoming, I think, more and more narrow focused.
That's right.
Yeah, and who's to say where it goes? Because I think the internet has been incredibly liberating in terms of, let's get past some of the old prohibitions, but the pendulum looks like it might swing back the other way. And so this is a really interesting moment. I mean, when sexual content has never been more available than it is, but will there be some attempt to, you know, crack down on that? Hopefully not.
So we talked about stills earlier on in the conversation, and in the fact that those were something that happened through the process, I think, in the second video, and that you created for yourselves, Sweet Treats, and then that you say that you enjoy that. I guess what I wanted to ask is, you have video available to you. What does still photography, what does that do for you? What's that component about?
Huh. I guess from the male point of view, it's just, it takes an incredible discipline to pose in certain positions.
Oh, I think his question is, what does it do for you? For me, it doesn't do anything for me. I mean, other than in the act, it's really hot to do those still pictures. But after the fact, I you know, Jay will look through them and show them to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's whatever. But like, super into, I want to look at those.
Anybody that is, you know, 40 or 50 years old grew up looking at still photos.
Right.
You know, Playboy, Penthouse, Puritan, the hardcore stuff. So to actually be engaged in those, it's like, wow, I never would have dreamed.
Yeah, no, I will say this, and, you know, speaking personally, that I know that on occasion the camera will, you know, is here at home, and it's a great lubricator from the standpoint of, well, post for me this way, post for me that way, and it's a flirtation, and it's a dance that you do. But I know that for me, I would look back at those photos 1,000 times over and daydream about my wife. Well, you know, will I see what I see? Whereas with her, if she could never see those photos again, she'd be all right with that. So I kind of get where you guys are coming from, you know.
Yeah.
And also to a certain degree is that that you start seeing, at least, again, I'll speak personally for myself. I won't speak for anybody else, but the passage of time and the fact that what I've enjoyed for myself is the fact that I have seen my body change over the course of the last 20 years from the first time that she and I met when we were 19, and the fact that I was a skinny mini when we went real thin, to the fact that I grew into my body as a man now, and the fact that, you know, you have the ebbs and flows of weight and skin doesn't respond the same way that it like it used to. But I enjoy seeing that progression. I'm not scared of it necessarily. Now talk to me in 20 years and see how I feel. But at least for the time being, like I was a cute guy then. I'm a handsome man now. And hopefully, like wine, I'm getting better with time.
There you go.
But I think that's, for me, that's the component that still photography does for me, is that it allows me to look there and gawk at myself, for lack of a better term, and think, well, you know, yeah, I'm getting older, and that's not a bad thing.
Well, and I think we need to redefine what it means to be sexual. And, you know, it's not necessarily being young, but I think it's making the most of what you have and trying. And that's what I do. And that's, I think, right. Jerry does too. And that's another piece of why we'd love to put these videos out, is to show, well, here's some people who aren't in their, you know, 20s, right, who are still doing this and still happy about it. And that's important. I think society is going to go in that direction.
Well, I think so too. And I interviewed a couple, and I don't know if you've heard this, that episode, but I interviewed a couple that's relatively, well, no, they're about my age. They're in their 40s, who are webcam performers.
Yeah, we did listen to that.
Right. And I think it was very interesting of how open they were, and they were very candid about the fact that that there is a market for what they do, who they are, in their age group. And I think that to a certain degree, like you said, back when, at least in the mid-90s, when I started to being introduced to, you know, adult content, even though I wasn't supposed to. But
are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello?
So I just got another call, so I didn't want to lose.
Technology strikes again.
I think we're back, yeah.
You definitely are back. So, but where I was earlier was this whole concept of the fact that if you were to look at a place like where they can, which I think is Chatterbait, and you look at all of the different, the breakdown of all the things that people have access to see, where they're looking at, let's say, looking for a MILF, for in it, or you were looking for somebody who's in college, or you were looking for a couple, or you're looking for somebody in their 40s. So there's 1,000 ways to break this stuff down. But what I noticed about it is the fact that there is a market for pretty much a little bit of everything, or everything that you want there, as long as it's consensual. And that's where it tells me that people are not looking for what's stereotypical as far as what porn used to be thought of as. Mm. That there is, you know, the people are looking to see people that to a certain degree are like themselves.
Hmm.
You know, so that's what I have found as far as I'm seeing that. And also what the major portals like a Pornhub has, which they have a breakdown of a lot of different things. And you can find pretty much, if you have a groove that you want to find, you're most likely to find it there. And so, I guess that's where it begs a question. I think you alluded to it earlier, which is there may be a day, and I'm not sure when that day will come, where you may make these available for consumption.
Oh, that would be fantastic. And I don't know that it's so much people looking for people like themselves, but it's just, you know, to show that being explicit with your sexuality is not weird or unusual, and it's okay, and we can kind of do that in a lighthearted way. I don't know that, you know, society is there yet, but hopefully it will someday, because, you know, the alternative is kind of what we had before we met each other, where you're in some relationship and you're not satisfied sexually, and it's, what do I do next? You know, and we got really lucky that we both ended those relationships and found each other and created this thing together.
Right. And it's a creation that both of you. Yeah. I mean, that's the other component, is that it's something that you have both built together. And I do worry about couples where it's one person who's the driving force and the other person is there reluctantly. At least in your case, it is really a collaboration.
That's right. That's right. Where we ended up is absolutely a collaboration. I mean, we, you know, the journey here was not smooth. I will tell you there were bumps along the way. But, you know, we found our way to the place where we could have exciting sexual experiences with other people, but yet be totally devoted to one another. And I don't know what more a person can want in life than that.
That's right.
So this is just, you know, me being thinking ahead. If you had a hall pass, although with you guys, it's an interesting, you know, concept. But if you had a hall pass of people that you would wish list, bucket list of people that you would want to work with, you know, that are professionals in the industry, who would those folks be?
Oh, boy.
Well, we're always talking about that. And I think we have found that people who are at least nearer our own age.
Yeah.
That's okay. Pretty important. Because, you know, we're not into the whole, like, you know, teen thing and innocent and all that. We like people who have been doing that for a while and are, you know, really professional about it. And so,
John Leslie.
Well, if he was still alive.
But he's not alive.
That would be a feat.
But
he'd be great.
Yeah, you know, on the women end, though, I will tell you, Nina Hartley, that was pretty hard to top that. You know,
right.
But we'll keep working on it.
Well, I'll tell you that I don't know if it's kismet or whatnot, but the fact that you chose somebody with the last name of Hart Lee in it, and you guys have a heart to heart. I mean, I think it you're just going to have to stay within that theme.
There you go.
And that's not a real name either.
No.
Yeah, right.
But she told us about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had you find little tidbits you know, the intersection between everyday or, you know, things that are for public consumption and things that are taboo, but everybody still does it. And
sure.
There's Boogie Nights is probably one of my favorite films. It's a terrific film. And I remember watching that back in the day where I was only watching it for the one part where everybody wants to see what Mark Wahlberg is working with. And then of course, like, you know, being a college kid and whatnot and watching videos, of course, you know, Nina Hartley has been around for a long time. And it wasn't until one day when I was rewatching the movie and actually looking at it from the standpoint of, you know, it's a really well-crafted film. And then I noticed that, well, gosh, this gal seems awfully familiar. And then you find out that she was in the film. It was just one of those moments of revelations of like, oh, these are, you know, of mainstream cinema and adult cinema coming together. And of course, it would be somebody like her to do it. And so I've always appreciated the fact that, you know, that she's such a personality into a certain degree in both sides of it.
That's right. Yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah. She was the most, I mean, of the people we have spent time with. I had the most to talk about and just the most, you know, sophisticated in terms of the era. I mean, she started out in the mid 80s and having that long a career and where society has gone and her work as an advocate for sexuality writ large. I mean, it was really a privilege to get to know her.
I bet it was. Well, listen, guys, that is, you know, the majority of what I wanted to inquire. I will tell you that this has been a sweet treat for me. most definitely, because, again, I have to a certain degree developed a internet relationship with you all. I always look forward to what you post. You've always been very kind with the things that I have on there. And so just the fact that you took time out of your schedule, especially during the times when you have just with each other to come on, it really is an honor. And I guess what I would ask you to do now is, you know, maybe tell us a little bit about the books that you currently have. Again, reiterate the books that you're working with, where people can find you, whether it's Amazon, and I'll have show notes on here, and just kind of any other parting words that you may have.
There are two books that we have, and the first one's called Monogamy with Benefits, How Porn Enriches Our Relationship. And the second is called Married with Benefits. And I'm trying to remember the subtitle.
Real
Life Adult Industry Adventures.
There you go.
Yep. And so those are available on Amazon, and they, you know, expand on some of the things we've been privileged to talk with you here today about. And there will be more books to come. I think we're sort of, you know, really excited about that. And maybe down the road, the videos come out. I don't know. It'll be a hell of a scandal if they do. but we are very grateful, Hugo, for your interest in talking to us.
We have our Twitter feed.
Yeah, the Twitter feed is at Sexy Happy Couple. And that's how we got to know you. And you do great things on Twitter. And, you know, so thanks for taking the time to talk with us. And, you know, let's keep expanding the conversation.
That's right. And keep in touch with your great colleague on Twitter.
I appreciate that. With that, we'll bring it to a close. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon. Peace.
Sounds good. You too. Bye-bye.